Aloha and welcome to Elevating Motherhood. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Lori Beth Aldridge. I've taken my passion for conversation, perspective, and supporting moms and turned it into a podcast. My goal is to talk openly about motherhood, offer new ideas, and help moms find their confidence in this busy and sometimes overwhelming world we live in. We're going to dive deep, open up, and elevate motherhood. Thanks for being here with me. Let's get started. Today's episode is sponsored by Homeschool Explained, an online course I created to help parents find their confidence as they begin their homeschool journey. Homeschool Explained is also for families who have already started homeschooling but feel they could use more resources and a confidence boost to keep going. My course is designed to save you time. It can be really overwhelming typing how to homeschool into an online search engine, then spend hours sorting through all of the results. With Homeschool Explained, there will be no more maddening online searches for how to start homeschooling. This is me, a passionate veteran homeschool mom, holding your hand and walking you through Homeschool 101 in just under 3 hours. My course is outlined to be logical and easy to understand. In Homeschool Explained, I take over 15 years of homeschool experience and condense it into a 3-hour instructional video and include a newly updated downloadable PDF. I'm also super stoked to announce that the PDF isn't the only new upgrade to the course. I am now including ongoing encouragement. So your learning doesn't end when the tutorial video stops. At least once a month, I will upload encouragement for you. This month, I have 2 encouragements, an audio for parents who are teaching their young children how to read, and a video about joyful journaling, how to bring joy into writing and record keeping for both you and your child. I used to teach in-person workshops when I lived on Maui to help families gather all the information and resources they needed, answer all their questions, alleviate concerns, and help them get organized as they started homeschooling. Homeschool Explained is the online version of those workshops. I totally get it. Starting any new journey can be really overwhelming, especially when it comes to rethinking how your child is going to get an education and that you are going to be their teacher. But don't worry, there is so much support and freedom in homeschooling. It's doable, it's fun, and it takes way less time than most people think. In Homeschool Explained, I answer common questions, help you work through worries, and save you time. No more internet search overload. This is all the information you need to get started homeschooling today from a trusted, experienced source. I show you what modern homeschool days actually look like, all while covering major topics like curriculum, homeschool styles, subjects to teach, cost, state laws, socialization, and so much more. This course takes the guesswork out of where and how to begin and leaves you with solid support and resources from day one. I would be honored to help you start your homeschool journey with confidence. Find out more at homeschoolexplained.com. That's homeschoolexplained.com. Mothers often feel really guilty when they pursue something that takes away from their children, especially when that something could be deemed less important than parenting. Writer Ashley Gadd felt the same way when she was navigating being a first-time mother, exhausted yet yearning to be creative. Now a mother of 3 and the founder of Coffee and Crumbs, an online community bringing mothers together through storytelling, Ashley intentionally finds time to be creative. Ashley Gadd is actually someone I've followed my entire motherhood journey for almost a decade. I have listened to her podcast and gleaned insight from her blog. Ashley has been showing up for years through her brand Coffee and Crumbs. She's been creating and mothering that entire time, and all of those years of experience with creating and mothering are now brought together in her beautiful new book, Create Anyway: The Joy of Pursuing Creativity in the Margins of Motherhood. Her book and this interview inspired me so much, and I know they will inspire you. In a world that tells moms that they are too busy to go to the bathroom by themselves, let alone create anything, Ashley is a voice of compassion and practicality that says, yes, you can be a mom and create. Yes, you can take matters into your own hands and make the time. Your ideas matter. Your creations have great purpose in this world, and you are not alone in your desire to want to create and bring more beauty into your life and the lives of your family and community. Ashley Gadd is the author of Create Anyway and the founder of Coffee and Crumbs, a beautiful online space where motherhood and storytelling intersect. As a writer and photographer, Ashley has spent her entire motherhood creating in the margins. When she's not writing or vacuuming Cheerios out of her carpet, she loves making friends on the internet, eating cereal for dinner, and rearranging bookshelves. She and her husband have 3 children and live in Northern California. Without further ado, let's welcome the creative Ashley Gadd to the show. Aloha, Ashley. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It is so lovely to meet you. I have been a Coffee and Crumbs fan for so long and really appreciate the way you show up for moms. Thank you so much.
Aw, thank you. That means a lot to me. Thanks.
My gosh. Well, I know a bit about you from over the years and all of your sharing, but I'd love for my audience to learn more about you in your own words.
Sure. My name is Ashley. I live in Sacramento, California with my husband of 15 years, which is still hard to believe that I'm even old enough to have been married for that long.
I get it.
It's been a long time since we've been together, and we have 3 kiddos. We have a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And yeah, I'm a writer, a photographer, and I am the founder of Coffee and Crumbs, which is, I like to describe it as just a really beautiful intersection between motherhood and storytelling.
I love those 2 things so much. They're actually probably 2 of my favorite things. Yeah. My master's degrees are in children's literature and creative writing for children, and my storytelling classes were just like it. But I will tell you, taking storytelling classes, you start to realize the value of storytelling just in everyday lives, whether people have degrees in it or not, you know?
Yeah, so I love that.
So beautiful outside of academia, even more so. My gosh. Well, your book is so awesome. I devoured the whole thing in basically 2 sittings. It was so wonderful. It's this beautiful invitation to create. And it spoke to me so directly as a podcaster and a writer, and even especially as a homeschool mom, where I'm trying to encourage my kids to create all the time. I'm home all the time with my kids, unless we're adventuring. Gosh, they're 9, 8, going to be 6 here in a couple weeks. No, wait, they're 9, 7, 6. In a
couple. You start to just lose track after 2. It all goes downhill after then.
I was like, hang on. I don't even know how old my kids are. They're here all the time and we have so much fun together. But I also believe in lifelong learning. And I think that is also at the heart of your message. So thank you for encouraging us in that. But what was it that made you want to write a book encouraging mothers to create, even for those of us who are in such busy seasons of our motherhood, we don't even know how old our kids are?
Yes, I can very much relate to that. I always get in trouble when I have to very quickly recall all of their birthdays, you know, back to back. Have you ever been at the pediatrician's office and it's like, wait, which year was which kid born?
I usually start off with, don't judge me, but.
Yeah, give me a second. I need to like use my brain. Yeah, in so many ways, this book has really been writing itself in me for the last decade. You know, I've been a mom for 10 years, and I would say that the core message of this book is just one that I've been living out to its fullness over the past decade of my motherhood. And it has impacted me in so many just profound, transformative ways that I'm super eager to encourage other women to just kind of step into the fullness of their creative gifts, not in spite of motherhood, but because of motherhood. You know, I have seen firsthand the fruit that can come out of pursuing these 2 parts of myself kind of at the same time, this motherhood part, this artist part. And I've learned time and time again how much each one of those roles really helps sustain the other one.
For sure. One is, I feel like, gives us such purpose. And then you go over to the other one, it's like, oh, there's so much purpose in this too. I love that. Your book totally carries that wisdom vibe that only comes from experience. So I love that, that this isn't something that you just whipped up. This is something you've been living. That it totally gives off that vibe. I love that so much.
Thank you.
Early in the book, you state that our culture is obsessed with final products people can sell and rate. I stopped there and was like, he just nodded over and over and over again. I'm like, preach, man, we are just fed this idea that we can't create anything unless it's going to bring in a profit for us or our family, or we can turn it into a business or an Etsy shop or something like that. There's just not a message that you're allowed just to create, but creativity and creating is so much more than that. Can you elaborate on what creating is for you and how you found your conviction to keep creating in a society that sees it as frivolous if it's not lucrative?
Yeah. I mean, I think that is such a Western problem, right? Like that's something I think we really struggle with here in America, this just hunger for capitalism at all costs. And I'm really passionate about creating for the sake of creativity. And I think it's even taken me a while to really embrace that idea. You know, I'm a type 3 on the Enneagram. I don't know if you're familiar with the Enneagram, but
I'm a 7 though.
You're so fun. Yeah, I mean, I even come from just such a personality that is really driven and motivated by accomplishments and, you know, just chasing achievements. And so that's even been a part of myself that I've had to, I don't know, like retrain a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, when I create things that no one sees or no one, you know, pays me for or no one applauds, I get something out of that process, even when it's just for myself. And I think it's taken like many years of doing that, of practicing that, of making art behind closed doors and making art in secret, making art that's just for me, that has revealed that to me, how beneficial it can be for my heart and my mind and my faith, and again, for my motherhood. And so, yeah, I'm really passionate about just encouraging women to create for creativity's sake. And, you know, sometimes that does lead to money. Sometimes that does lead to fame or whatever the thing is, but you will never regret creating for yourself if you have that as a foundation.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's why I love cooking so much and love cooking for my family. And my husband's like, you know, not every meal has to be this elaborate. And I'm like, but it's art and I love it. And that's what it does for me for sure. And I don't think that maybe people think of cooking as art sometimes. But I really like plating and I really like presentation and balance and rich flavors and all of that. And so to me, it is an art form, but you know, we don't think about it that way. Instead, it's like an item on our to-do list, but I've totally taken a to-do list item and turned it into something that brings me absolute joy for sure.
And I bet too that really does like bless your family in so many ways, you know, even if they don't call it art. I would call that art, especially what you're saying about plating the meals and, you know, caring about the appearance. I think that's really cool. I'm not a cook at all, so I'm very impressed. Anyone who can put like a real dinner on the table has just all of the credit in my book.
It's fun. But, you know, taking time to do all of these things, sometimes I feel guilty doing that. I feel like as a business owner, as a homeschool mom, as a wife, as a supporter, as a friend, if I stop and say, okay, I just need everyone to leave me alone for a little while I pretend to create, it's actually really hard. And making time for creating is one of the things I want to talk with you about, because I have a hard time keeping my expectations in check. I am really good at making lists that are like unrealistically long and then getting upset at myself for not completing them, quote unquote, on time, because by on time, I mean the arbitrary and completely unattainable timeline I've set for myself. Oh, it's maddening. I just experienced this yesterday and most likely the day before. Well, how do you make time to create and how do you keep your creation expectations realistic?
Yeah, that is such a real struggle. I just want to affirm that really quick, because I've had a lot of seasons, particularly in my motherhood, where my expectations were just unrealistic. And those unrealistic expectations led to a lot of resentment and bitterness toward my family, which is not at all how I want to live. That's not what I want for my marriage. That's not what I want for my motherhood. And I don't know if I have any super wise words of encouragement other than to say, you know, motherhood really does happen in seasons. And I think something that's really helped me over time is just the practice of reassessing what is realistic in every season, knowing that no season is going to last forever. And that's something I've really struggled with, I think, over the years, is kind of creating this routine and rhythm for myself, thinking this is how it's always going to be. And then, you know, 3 months later, something changes with the kids or the baby starts sleeping a different schedule. And all of a sudden, the whole thing is thrown off course. And I've had to learn time and time again just how to be flexible and how to be adaptable and how to pivot when I need to pivot. And so I would say right now, the way that I create is working really well for this season. I get up every morning at 5 a.m., which for many years when I was up nursing a baby in the middle of the night, that was not feasible. But now that is feasible for me, and that is a joy and a delight, and I'm grateful for it. But again, like, there were seasons where I was just clawing to get 20 minutes, you know, here and there throughout the day in little tiny fragments. And now I'm in a season where I can have a couple hours every morning if I get up at the crack of dawn. And so that is what I do. But I think just giving yourself the grace and the compassion to know that, you know, every phase of motherhood is a phase. And just because it's really, really hard today doesn't mean it's going to be really, really hard 3 months from now. Or you might have it easy for a while and then it goes back to being hard, and you kind of just have to be flexible there. So I think just having that constant expectation management meeting with yourself is really helpful. And the more often you can do that, the better.
Mm-hmm. Right after this interview, I'm going to have that meeting with myself.
Yes.
I'm already blocked off my calendar.
Yeah. Get yourself a snack. You know, you got to just make it a thing.
That's awesome. I really appreciate your thoughts on acknowledging seasons, because I actually have entire podcast episodes talking about how I used to wake up at 5 a.m. right when my youngest was finally sleeping through the night and I wasn't up all night nursing and all of that. And I really thought we were done and that was going to be my rhythm and it was going to be awesome and amazing. And then we got pregnant again. And now I am in that season of nursing still. Yep. And I've been in that season for 14 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget that I'm in that season because I just want to plow forward and be doing more and doing more. And, you know, every month as the podcast grows, I want to show up in that way. And I have a book that I'm writing and wanting to spend more time on it. And I forget to take my own advice and the advice of so many guests that I have interviewed, that to acknowledge seasons. And it will not be this way forever. And we are having a super busy week last week and then also this week. And I have to just look at my calendar and see too, this is just a busy couple of weeks. And it's okay if I'm not writing during this time and just zoning into my family, that's totally okay too. So it's almost like there are micro seasons
inside
of these seasons.
Yeah, totally. I love that. Micro seasons. That's a good way to say that.
Oh man. Well, what does it take to be a creator, do you think? Because state it in your book, a lot of us think of writing a book as going away to a cabin in the woods by yourself. And but outside of Walden, I'm not sure that that's ever really been recreated ever again, especially for moms. Like, what are some of the things that you think it takes to be a creator?
Oh gosh, that is a huge question. I mean, it takes so much, I think, to be a creative. It takes faith, it takes patience, it takes dedication and commitment and discipline, but also inspiration and hope. I mean, I could think of probably 100 words that I could fill in the blank to that question. It takes showing up day after day and putting in the work. I was just journaling actually this morning about kind of the difference between discipline and inspiration, and how before I was a mom, my whole approach to writing in particular was very much, you know, I'm just going to write when I'm inspired, you know, when I feel like it, when I have an idea, I'm just going to sit down and write when inspiration strikes. And that served me pretty well before I had kids. And now, you know, I'm a mom of three. I work, I am busy. And if I just sat around waiting for inspiration to strike, I don't think I would hardly write a thing. You know, now I have to put my butt in the chair every morning, and that's how I write. And so I was journaling this morning just about how that's such a, it's such a dance, I think, for creatives between inspiration and discipline. You know, we have to be willing to put in the work, but we also have to give ourselves the time and the space to just let our minds wander and to just notice what's going on around us and to listen and to go outside and let ourselves be completely captivated by a sunset or by flowers growing in the cracks of a sidewalk. You know, I mean, that's where we feel that energy like bursting inside of us that we want to put somewhere. And so I think ultimately, like, what does it mean to be creative is sort of a balance of those two things. It's allowing yourself to be so inspired by the beauty of the world that you want to capture it in some kind of form, and then having the discipline to actually carry it out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is so good, Ashley. Oh my gosh. It's actually one of the reasons I love going outside with my kids and homeschooling my kids the way that we do, using a Charlotte Mason, loosely using a Charlotte Mason philosophy. She really had a nature-based model and connection to nature and acknowledging it as God's creation. And yeah, once you're in creation, it does make you want to create. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And it just is us having the, I wonder if there's like an element of discipline in there that we have to say, okay, that is worthy of notation. Mm-hmm. That is worthy of capturing. And it's okay if we take a few moments and do that. It's okay if we pull the car over safely and sunset with all the other people who have also pulled their cars over safely. You know, we're noticing it, and it is noticing it on an individual level, but then also noticing it constantly with other people when we're with our kids. And I try to just set that example for my kids, and have from a very young age of when we're outside, notice things, look at this, look at that. And like being in a space long enough that we can really slow down and like take in the scene of where we are, rather than feeling like we have to go on a nature walk from point A to point B and to point A, and we've missed everything along the way. You know, if we just park our car, hang out at point A for a while, we're probably going to find more snakes, which is crazy for us being from Hawaii. These are new to us. And we're going to find more things that are interesting and tiny flowers. And we do plant identification as part of our nature study. And I make the excuse that it's because it's homeschool, that that's why we do it. But I cannot recommend it enough to other moms who don't homeschool, even just taking the time to sit down and get to know the names of plants and animals and different things. It's just so nice because it's all, oh, anyway, now I want to go outside and get some inspiration for that. But now we've reached a point where I feel like my kids notice so much that they are the ones who inspire me and who encourage me to slow down and notice the flowers and the sidewalk and things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, now I really do. Now I want to create and I want to make time for it. Oh my gosh. But, you know, creating isn't something that we do alone. And believe it or not, I know some people are like, what? Ashley wrote the book. She created that alone.
Not even. There's a whole crew of women behind me and behind these pages. Yeah.
I love that so much. And I think people need to hear that so that they understand that we do create in community, and you encourage us to create in community in your book rather than creating by ourselves. And that takes a level of vulnerability that can keep us from seeking a creative community. I know some writers who don't want to share because they're afraid someone's going to steal their idea. Or I know others who are afraid that their work is just absolute crap and should be in the garbage, and they don't want anyone else to see it. And so it keeps them from putting themselves out there. I know I've experienced that more than once in my creative journey. But creating in community means coming to terms with as you put it in your book, the reality that the creating art in a world filled with other people creating art is that at some point, someone you know is going to create art similar to yours. Mm-hmm. And that's totally okay.
Yeah.
So there's so many hangups that we have when we come to creating in general, and then especially creating in community. How did you make these breakthroughs and find the courage to create in community?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I first kind of set out in my creative journey, I guess we'll call it, you know, I did have such a tremendous amount of, there was this, on the one hand, I think it was just simple pride, right? Just pride, like, I can do this. I can figure this out. And then there was this desire for independence. You know, I was born and raised in a family that really valued those mm-hmm. characteristics, really valued hard work, independence, figuring it out as you go, just standing up on your own two feet. And so I think a lot of that is really just ingrained in my life experience, in my family of origin, in my specific type of personality. And so I've had to really fight through a lot of those types of mindsets to open myself up to the idea of asking for help, receiving help, yeah, letting people into my super crappy first drafts and mm-hmm. asking them to help me make it better. You know, I mean, nothing takes more vulnerability out of me than sending like a really, truly terrible, terrible first draft to my friends and asking them for feedback. But the more and more that I've done it, it's gotten so much easier over time. You know, it's like once you kind of get over that initial hump, that initial discomfort, I do find that it gets easier over time. And I think for me, I kind of got to this point where I realized I was still holding my creative community, which for me is my mastermind group. You know, there was this point where I was still kind of holding them at arm's length. You know, I was willing to show them a lot, but I wasn't willing to show them everything. I was willing to let them in on some of my creative struggles, but not all of them. And it wasn't until I really was able to just pull that mask off that I feel like I started to really understand the benefits of letting people who love you all the way into your mess. And I've experienced that in motherhood as well. I think the parallels there are really beautiful, you know, and I've been, I would say, walking the same story out in my motherhood as well of starting out kind of wanting to figure it all out on my own and wanting to just Google my way through motherhood to really leaning on people all the time when I need that. And I'm so much better for it. You know, I'm better for it. My motherhood is better for it. My art is better for it. And I can't speak more highly of letting people into both of those parts of yourself.
I love that so much. I'm part of a mastermind too. And Yay. That was a good message for me personally. I think that's really good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, where did you find your creative community? Did you create your mastermind or how did that come together?
Yeah. So my mastermind is made up of myself and three other friends who are all writers at the Coffee and Crumbs team. And so we had kind of a foundational relationship with one another. We had been writing together about motherhood for a number of years. And then I can't remember if it was at the end of 2019 or early 2020, but the four of us were all working on book proposals. And so I had reached out and asked if they wanted to start a mastermind group, kind of for just accountability with the book proposal. You know, I just figured it would be great if we could share resources with one another and yeah, just check in with each other and be a support system while we were each working on our own book projects. But then pretty quickly after that, maybe like within the first 6 months, I think we all realized that what we really wanted out of our group was to level up our writing. And so we kind of shifted the mission of our mastermind group from, oh, we're all working on book proposals together to we just all want to become better writers and we want to become better writers together. And I think clarifying the mission of our group was really like a pretty pivotal moment for us. And yeah, we've been We've been friends and writing together ever since. We talk every single day. We submit our writing to each other twice a month. And it's one of the best parts of my life right now.
That's so awesome. Well, what tips do you have for moms who want to find their own creative communities, or especially for moms who feel like they're just creating at home alone, mm-hmm. or even mothering at home alone?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always encourage women to take matters into their own hands if they are wanting a community or wanting a mastermind group, wanting really any kind of friendship. I think going first is my biggest tip, you know, just putting yourself out there and making the ask. I tend to be the initiator in a lot of my groups of friends. Like, I tend to be the one to send the text, to start the invite, to plan the thing. And, you know, I think if you're not used to doing that, it can feel really vulnerable, right? Because you can get rejected. People might be too busy. People might not be interested, but you're never going to know if you don't ask. And for me, I think taking the initiative and going first is a lot easier than sitting around waiting for something to happen to you. So that's kind of my first tip. And then, yeah, as far as like a creative community, I mean, I think it would be really, I think it's great when women can find other women who have similar creative interests, and they don't have to be identical, mm-hmm. but you know, if you are a writer and you write poetry, you could still get together with somebody who writes fiction because you both have just the craft of writing, you know, mm-hmm. together. If someone's into playing guitar, they could be friends with someone who's playing piano, you know? I mean, I think that like creative genres, there's a lot of variety and a lot of diversity within the realm of creativity, and finding someone who just has a basic similar interest to you. Maybe you just like to make things with your hands, and there's lots of different people who make things with their hands, or maybe you're a traditional artist who likes to paint and you want to find somebody who's into like that type of art. Finding somebody who's into something similar to you, I think is a good, it's nice to have a foundational understanding of the craft of the other person.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that you are encouraging people to initiate, because I agree with that. When we can see that creating a community takes vulnerability, and instead of avoiding that by initiating, we are just taking that vulnerability by the horns and being like, you know what, we're just going to do it. I'm just going to ask. And I think that if people just do ask mm-hmm. and start something, it's almost like, you know, start it and they'll come, and they will, because mm-hmm. I think people will be really surprised at how many other moms like to write or mm-hmm. take pictures or paint, or even ones who are like, I've always wanted to take a pottery class. And then next thing you know, you're all doing it together.
Yeah.
It's so good, but you don't know until you ask. I love that very much.
I think for every one person who's willing to ask, there are 10 people waiting to be asked. Uh-huh. So the odds are in your favor, really.
It's true. It's true. Well, I'm an Enneagram 7. And so I really enjoy encouraging people and cheering people on and partying and having a good time doing it. It's so fun. And I think that one of the best steps I can take in a creative community is to be an encourager. It just comes naturally to me, but it's one of my favorite parts, actually, of being in community. And to leave a trail of glitter, as you mentioned in your book, or scatter glitter, it aligns with 1 Thessalonians instructions to encourage one another, which is my favorite Bible verse at the moment. I seriously, if anyone wants to get together and go to one of those sign making places, I really want to make a sign of that verse and hang it by my front door to remind us to encourage one another daily, just as we are already doing. And we can shine in creating and shine and are encouraging. So I just want to put that out there too, that for moms, sometimes it's not only just the creating and creating with others, but being in community gives us opportunities that creating in silos just can't, that we're never really creating alone. We're actually creating together all the time. And we can do that through encouragement. But then also this whole notion of not creating alone, I actually believe that we're creating with God all the time, or at the very least, creating as God the Creator has set the example for us. And you do a beautiful job of explaining that in your book. And many authors I know believe we are a vessel for stories and creations, that we are just the medium, and that the stories and the messages come through us. And I was wondering what your take is on this notion. Do you believe that we're we're co-creating with God to a certain degree when we're writing books and doing photography and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, both Coffee and Crumbs and Create Anyway were ideas that came to me in the shower. And when I say they came to me, I mean, they came to me fully formed, fully downloaded. I mean, I was standing in the shower both of those times when like an entire concept just dropped into my brain. And I can't make any reason for how that could happen without the Lord. Like I knew in those moments where it was coming from because it was so fully shaped. I didn't have to do any work to mold the concept. And so obviously there's work involved in creating Coffee and Crumbs, getting it off the ground, assembling the team, writing the mission statement, building the website. Like there's work involved in writing a book, sitting down butt in chair every morning, writing the chapters. But I really believe both of those ideas, both of those projects and pieces of art were assigned to me, for lack of better phrasing, you know? And I think that that's part of what helps me even carry out the work of doing those things, is that I feel this sense of obedience tied up in the work, you know, that God has asked me to do these things. And even if I feel often like I'm the wrong girl for the job, as I often do when I feel ill-equipped or not qualified or whatever the thing is, anytime I feel a sense of imposter syndrome, I just come back to that, like, well, I'm the girl that was in the shower that God gave the idea to. So clearly he does want me to be the one to do it. Yeah.
I love that so much. I loved it on page 100 when you said the quiet part out loud too, that you don't believe in coincidences, mm-hmm. you believe in God. That whole section right there, I was so happy to hear people saying the quiet part out loud. And mm-hmm. you talked about how God left you breadcrumbs and affirmations and how he loves foreshadowing and he is connecting us to him and to each other, which lends itself perfectly to the idea that we should be creating in community. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love that story so much. And I love the obedience part, because I think on some level that makes the discipline part mm-hmm. slightly easier, or mm-hmm. at least gives it a doable oomph behind
it. Gives it like purpose, I think. Yeah. More purpose than I would feel if I didn't have that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gosh. Well, now we're so excited to create, and we're excited to create in community, but I'd love to tackle just one more beast with you and roadblock when it comes to creating. You know, there's in-person community, and then there's online communities like your mastermind, like my mastermind, like us meeting over Zoom and getting to know each other. And then there's like online communities and networks. I dare call them networks over communities. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're way less personal. And these are like strangers on Instagram, trolls mm-hmm. on Facebook who are like putting me down, you know? You mentioned in your book about input versus output, you know, and mm-hmm. our interpretation of what it is we see online, I think affects our creating, like not yeah. only what we create, but like if we mm-hmm. create. So if we are constantly mm-hmm. derailed by the Pinterest perfection posts or whatnot, it could keep us from creating at all, which I think is really too bad. Mm-hmm. So I'd love for you to share a bit about what you learned about how we take in, by like what we take in and what we digest as creators mm-hmm. and moms really affects mm-hmm. how it is we show up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for a really long time, I don't know that I was in denial over how input affected output, but I don't even think I was that aware of it. Mm-hmm. I think it was easy for me to brush off, you know, oh, I just spent 3 hours scrolling social media, shrug of the shoulders, oh, well, you know, without really identifying how it was directly impacting my art. And now I would say I'm just much more attuned to how my input affects my output. I know that if I'm not reading good books, I'm not writing good words. Those two things are inherently connected for me. If I'm consuming for hours and hours and hours a day, I'm not creating because there are only so many hours in the day. And, you know, I hesitate to use the word balance there because I don't know what the balance is or should be between consumption and creation. But something I'm very aware of just in my own life, I would say, is more of the ratio of how much time am I spending consuming versus how much time am I spending creating. And I always want to be creating more than I'm consuming. And so that's something that I just really have to pay attention to because I notice very quickly a shift in myself if I'm consuming too much. Even if it's the good kind of consumption, it can sometimes really paralyze me or just stop me from creating. And so I just always want to keep a sense of momentum going in my creative life, specifically in my writing. And so, yeah, I just try to pay a lot of attention to that ratio. But I've definitely noticed, I mean, especially with social media, you know, that's a place where I have to be really careful about the ratio because it can go, it can get off pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I can't even recall how many days I'm like, oh, well, that escalated quickly. Wow.
Where did the time go?
Yeah. I have a timer on mine that says like, after you spend X amount of time, it's time to get off. And I'm like, what, how is that? How did that pass? Because there are so many interesting things to see and interesting things to take in. And there are definitely moments where some of the things that I'm consuming on Instagram does inspire me either in my homeschool or my motherhood or gives me ideas or encouragement when I need it. And then there's the ratio part of it. You know, for every post that does inspire me, there are probably, no joke, 250 that are like, ah, now I'm in a rage about the state of the world and all this stuff. And just, I think paying attention to ratio really matters. And we can take the first steps on that by making time for self-reflection and kind of doing an audit, an honest audit of what our actual ratio is. And I'd love to read a quote from your book that really struck me. You say, I'm learning that as a well-nourished creative pours better work into the world, a well-nourished mother pours better love into her family. When we take a holistic approach to filling ourselves up physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, everyone around us benefits. Mm-hmm. I agree with that so, so very much. And I think that that is what we're after at the end of the day, is to feel well-nourished and in a whole sense. And a holistic approach is something we talk about here on the show quite often. And I think a lot of times that spiritual element is what's missing in our world because we're surrounded by secular motherhood culture and told to align with that. And people are dissatisfied with it. And I think that it is that puzzle piece that is missing. So I appreciate that your book is like part of that puzzle piece that really comes together and acknowledges the spiritual part of motherhood and then also of creating. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much for those kind words.
Well, it's so good. We have so much to learn from you and glean from you. And well, let's set boundaries and come up with rhythms for our social media. I loved your suggestion to swap an hour of scrolling for an hour of creating. I really feel like I should have, I have that backwards. I have a timer on my Instagram saying you should stop scrolling. I should have a timer on saying start creating now.
And there you go.
Maybe you could stop when you're done. It just, it rung so true to me. And I'm going to intentionally put that into practice for sure. You know, more than once I've caught myself thinking I should be doing something more connection-based or productive rather than scrolling. And I think that, and then I ignore it and don't take action. And I'm not perfect at all. But I know that I could probably use a few tips on how to set boundaries. So I'd love to hear how it is you've set those boundaries for yourself and come up with those rhythms.
Yeah. My relationship with social media has been complicated, I would say, for a number of years now. My current rhythm and boundary that is working really well for me is simply that I delete the app every other week. So I'm on Instagram for a week and then I'm off it for a week and then I'm on for a week and then I'm off for a week. And then I also take 2 full months off every year in the months of January and August, which are pretty intentional. I love to start the new year just fresh, fresh slate, fresh start, undistracted and just really, really present in my life. And I like to take August off because my business, Coffee and Crumbs, takes a sabbatical every August. So I like to reap the full fruit of that as well. So right now I'm off Instagram about 30 weeks a year and I'm on it about 22 weeks a year. And that is not meant to be prescriptive for anyone. You know, that's currently what is working for me. I have the privilege of having a social media manager who runs our social media at Coffee and Crumbs. If I didn't have that, I don't know that I would be able to do the exact same rhythm. So I always want to put a little disclaimer on that because I know anybody who is self-employed or runs a small business might be hearing this like, yeah, okay, lady, how am I going to do that? You know, and I get it. I get that social media is just a really big part of, especially if you run a business online, it's where the people are and it's a big part of your marketing strategy. And I totally understand that. But I would just really encourage women to think through what is realistic for you. What is, maybe it's you can delete the app every Friday through Sunday. Maybe you can delete it every other day. I mean, I really cannot encourage women enough to actually delete the app, like get it off your phone for a period of time, whatever that looks like for you. Maybe you can just do it 1 week a month. I don't know what your schedule is like. If you only use it personally and you don't have any commitments with your work to your relationship with social media, I really cannot say enough how much I recommend finding a regular rhythm to step away. And you will be surprised at how good it feels, at how much time you suddenly can reclaim, at the state of your mental health, the state of your heart. I mean, it has been a really life-changing practice for me. And I don't ever see myself going back to being on social media all the time. It's had that much of an impact that I can't imagine. To go back seems wildly unhealthy for me specifically.
That's awesome. It's good to hear. It's good to hear that feedback from someone who's taken that leap and done that. And I love that it came full circle and we're encouraged again to find out what's realistic.
Totally. Yeah. And I really do get it. I want people to know, you know, even if you're a writer and you want to write a book someday and you're trying to build your readership. I mean, I get all of the tensions around this area. It's not simple. I don't ever want to make it sound like this is just an easy black and white thing to just start deleting the app all the time. It is nuanced, it's layered, it's personal. And I think every person is going to have to sort of figure out like what works for them. But if you can make it work for you, if you can find a way, a strategy, some kind of system to put in place where you can have a regular break, I just can't recommend it enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's good. I think that if you feel a nudge somewhere in you to change something, then just try something. Try something new. Figure out what those healthy boundaries look like. And I think it's awesome. Those are wonderful tips and very encouraging. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Gosh, well, what are you creating now? Do you have any new projects or interests that you're working on?
Yeah, well, I am launching this little book into the world in about a month. So that's sort of the project du jour. And aside from that, yeah, we're working on a few new things at Coffee and Crumbs that I'm really excited about. And we're kind of changing our editorial model this year. So I've been running this space for about 8.5 years. And over the course of 8.5 years, we've been putting out brand new essays on a weekly basis for 8.5 years. And that's a lot. That's a lot of essays, you guys. We've been doing this for a really long time. And I'm starting to just kind of feel this shift in me, both as a writer and as a mother, that I just kind of want to slow the process down a bit of the way that I write about motherhood. And so this year we're trying something new where instead of putting out new essays every week, we are going to be dropping collections a couple times a year where we drop kind of one big batch, sort of like a big Netflix series, all at once. And then we give our readers just about 90 days to kind of work through the whole collection. And so we're kind of just shifting into more of a quality over quantity mindset with our writing and hoping to really elevate our craft this year. So I'm super excited about that. And then I'm also still learning film photography. I started teaching myself how to shoot film while I wrote this book, actually. So there are photographs in the book that are all shot on film. And that has been such a fun endeavor that is, it's really just for myself. I haven't taken on any paying clients yet to pay me to take their photos with film. I don't know if I'll ever be good enough to do that, but I'm really enjoying just learning it for myself and taking pictures of my kids and my family. So mm-hmm. I hope to continue doing that more this year.
Mm-hmm. I love that element in the book, actually. And my favorite picture that you include is the picture of the candles, the basket of candles.
That's my favorite picture in the whole book too.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm glad you said that. It feels very affirming. I'm like, that is the best picture in the whole book.
Oh, well, it's really good. And the story behind it is really good. I highly recommend people read it. And I also just wanted to affirm for you too, the slow down feeling that you're having.
Yeah.
I feel that too. Big time in my creating, and a lot of other people I talk to in my mastermind and other creative friends, they are feeling that same thing too. There seems to be this universal, like, whew, this breakneck pace that we're feeling, this pressure, all of that. We're all feeling like it's time to slow down. And I love that so much. Every time I hear another creator say it, I'm like, yes, thank you. I feel like we're finally finding some breathing room and focusing on quality over quantity. I love that so, so much because it feels really authentic. I love that.
Yeah. It's like, I know I'm not the only one who feels that way. And yet it still feels a little countercultural right now, which is the way that, you know, Instagram and TikTok, and there's just content everywhere all the time. And yeah, it seems a little countercultural to start making basically less creative work, which is what we're doing. But I'm excited about it. At the same time, I'm thrilled that we just get a little bit more time, you know, to sit with our work. And I am a really slow writer. I always have been.
Me too.
For the past, you know, 8.5 years, we've been churning out new essays every month. And I think I'm just kind of getting to a place where I can't really do that very easily anymore, especially with the ages of my kids. As my kids are getting older, the way that I write about motherhood is changing, and I'm pointing much more of a magnifying glass on myself than my kids. And this stage of parenting, I think, just requires a lot more discernment in how we tell stories. And so it all takes more time. And I just want to be able to sit with it a little bit longer.
Oh, Ashley, you're in such good company. Somehow, some way, in your phrases, you said two of my favorite words here on the show, discernment and countercultural. You are very good company. Oh my gosh.
I'm so glad.
So good. Countercultural is where it's at. And you know, I think us taking time and slowing down is like, it is countercultural, but it needs to happen because I just don't want to compete with 15-second videos anymore. And I don't want us to have attention spans of 15 seconds anymore. So, you know, us taking the time to do that and creating more quality, I think is, we're fighting the good fight. It's so good. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, if a mama listening is like feeling convicted and like wants to start creating today, what advice would you give her to keep that desire going and make it happen?
Yeah, I don't know what else I could add on to some of the other things that we've talked about. Again, I just keep going back to having realistic expectations in every season and to just start small and know that every minute you spend creating, doing something that lights you up, doing something that makes you feel alive, that matters. You know, it's not wasted, even if you can't finish whatever you start, or if it doesn't end up going the way that you thought it was going to go. Everything is a learning opportunity. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've sat down to write and I just write a bunch of garbage and it goes nowhere, but I still put my butt in the chair and got words on the page. And I have to believe that collectively, all of that time and that effort and that work, it does matter. It's not wasted. And so, yeah, I would just encourage women to start small, have realistic expectations, and just start. You know, you have to start somewhere. So you might as well start now.
Start small and your efforts matter. Wow. We needed to hear those words today, Ashley. Oh my gosh. I know my listeners are going to want to connect with you more. Where can they find you?
Yeah. So my website is ashleygadd.com. Ashley has two E's. Gadd is G-A-D-D. And I'm on Instagram every other week at Ashley Gadd.
That's awesome.
And my new book is called Create Anyway, The Joy of Pursuing Creativity in the Margins of Motherhood. And it is available pretty much wherever books are sold. So you can get it at Amazon or Target or Barnes & Noble. All of the Christian bookstores carry it. And I think that's it.
Oh, gosh, Ashley, thank you so much for all of your words of wisdom and sharing your experiences and your encouragement with us. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. This was a lovely conversation.
That's it for this episode of Elevating Motherhood. Thanks again for spending your valuable time with me today. I hope you found some insight and inspiration, or maybe a little of both. If you like today's show, please leave a review on iTunes. I use your feedback to plan future shows and cover topics that serve you. You can also connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. Links to those accounts are in the show notes. For more information, including today's show notes, head to elevatingmotherhood.com. That's elevatingmotherhood.com. Thanks again, Mama. I appreciate you.